My name is Sanjeev Gupta, and this is Socialism in the Time of Corona. In this podcast, I'm talking with people with deep experience in socialist and left politics, especially in the US. Our overarching question is, during this pandemic, how might we not only defend whatever gains we've made to this point, but actually advance them? Following my conversation with Ruth Milkman about millennials in episode 4, I became interested in the origins of people's interest in socialism or the left generally. In a series of 3 episodes this week, I asked guests to reflect on the links between their life experiences and their current political activity. For the first of these conversations, I talked with AJ, a member of our local chapter of the Democratic Socialists of America, or DSA, who has been with the organization since the 1980s. AJ is a singer who lives in a mid-sized town in Western Massachusetts. We discussed the political potential of the ongoing protests against police brutality in the US, the potential for democratic socialism generally, and the significance of the upcoming presidential election. We also talked about the challenges for people of color in political organizations. I began by asking AJ how he became involved with the DSA.
Oh, man, yeah, that goes way back. Bart and I, we were in, you know, these two different progressive groups back there, but we kind of got together for some demonstrations, and then after that we joined in with the DSA. But back then, I think the group that I was in, if I remember it correctly, it was called the Western Mass All People's Congress.
Okay.
Back in the 80s, late 70s or 80s, early
okay.
80s. Yeah, and we did a few things together, and then we also got together and did this. Gathering in Washington. I can't remember the exact years it was.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, all the groups sort of merged together and joined to the DSA. So that's how. Yeah, we're like ancient. So that was way back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, it was a bunch of various little local groups that kind of, you know, it was the time and we kind of all just merged together back then.
Yeah.
Sort of like, well, look what you're seeing now. Look at all these groups coming out of nowhere and they're all coming together, you know. You see what's going on now, right?
Yeah.
But this is, what's going on now is on a larger scale. You know, it was on more small, but now look what's happening.
Yeah. And what kinds of issues were you involved in back then?
Believe it or not, Brother Sanjeev, some of the same ones that are going on now. You know, much hasn't changed. You know what I'm saying? So you basically, yeah, what we're seeing now is a reflection of what we were dealing with back in the day.
Yeah.
You know? Same issue.
And, do you remember what sort of, it was such a rich time, like in terms of organizations. So do you remember sort of how you got into kind of the socialist end of things?
Specifically, you know, all I can really say is, we found that, you know, all the things, the issues and stuff we were trying to deal with, and that's what brought us together. Mm. You know, they were the same, and so, you know, when you find people that have a lot of in common with you, you know, as far as facing the same things and the same issues, you tend to come together. That's how it happened.
And so these were groups dealing with sort of separate issues, but realizing they had something in common.
Yes, exactly.
And was it sort of, you know, so these days, you know, we seen the protests and in the organizations of the rallies, you know, it's there's a lot of, you know, white folks as well as, you know, the African-Americans who are kind of leading the charge. How does that compare to back then?
And it's exactly the same. It's like, you know how they say history repeats itself.
Yeah, that's
exactly what's happening. The same. Yeah. But nowadays it tended, which is a good thing. It's tending to be on a much larger scale. Not that it wasn't large scales back then, but this is you know, what's happening today on the scale that is happening today, I've never seen in my life. You know, it's really, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know. But hopefully people are listening now. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that also means you guys also dealt with the same, you know, kind of issues of.
Yeah, like the tenants things, the racism, the women's rights, the gay rights, you know, all of it. All the same.
So speaking of things that might be the same in some ways, you know, now as well, how did you guys handle kind of, first of all, were there open differences among organizers and activists, you know, based on whether you were white or African-American or, you know, Latino or, you know, sort of your sort of race, ethnicity generally? Were there differences that played out kind of in, you know, in...
Back then, and one thing I could say I think is better now, because it seemed like, you know, back then, sometimes when we have the events, you know, like the different functions and everything, like, you know, potlucks or picnics or this or that and that. You know, the people, and then we had to discuss that back then too. The people sort of, like, at the functions, they sort of separated in their own separate little groups. You know, even though we were all part of the big, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
They kind of all, you know. But other than that, you know, that's the biggest differences among the groups that comes to mind.
Yeah.
In my mind now about back then.
Yeah.
I think that's what you were asking me about.
So you're saying that when people would get together socially, they would sort of end up like socializing
in their own little,
And what
but it wasn't something that we didn't notice, you know, when we tried to deal with it, but you know, it was happening, you know, like they had to kind of warm up, everybody had to kind of warm up to each other. So,
Were there things that made that easier or harder to do?
No, you know, I think what it took, you know, it's that just who was so ever inclined or could handle it, you know, just to kind of reach out, you know, and you get, you know, people reaching out to each other, you know, warming up, getting to know, you know, the other group. That's what it did. So I don't think there was anything extra hard about it, or was extra easy. It just something that, you know,
it took conscious effort.
It took a conscious effort. Yeah.
And so how are you thinking about what's going on now, both, you know, of course, the George Floyd police set of issues, but also generally in our politics? I mean, where, you know, you've been doing this a while.
That's a good question. I wish, you know, what happened, you know, like I was kind of, you know, well, not kind of, definitely wishing that, you know, things came out on the more progressive side, like, you know, with Bernie winning the nomination and stuff, but I do understand what's going on now, you know. I'm figuring it's a good thing now, you know, everybody can join together and get rid of this thug. Because you do have to get him out of there. You know, that's the first step. But then after that, we got a lot farther to go, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think on the Democratic side of it, you know, as far as the regular Democratic candidate stuff, you know, they're still all status quo, and status quo is really not moved us much beyond what it was in the late 70s and early 80s. So, you know, it's a far way to go. But, you know, first you gotta, you know, that, and I'm gonna call it what it is. You gotta get those Nazi fascist thugs out of there now that's running everything in the big house.
What would you say to people, in DSA or you know, generally, who say that, given that, you know, the Democrats are going to be sort of more of the status quo, and like you said, you know, things haven't changed much, in the last couple of decades. So, why should we put any effort into taking, you know, getting Trump out of office if it's really going to be more status quo? What's so important about Trump?
Well, about Trump, I look at it like that. Actually, I look at it as, you know, and this is my personal view as far as the Democrats and the Republicans are going.
Yeah.
They're just two sides of the same coin, but, you know, Trump is the worst side of the coin. So you want to move that goalpost. You want to get rid of him, and then, you know, we can deal with the other when we get to it. But I think the first step is to, if you want to use like George Floyd, for, you know, you gotta get the Trump's knee off our neck. You know, you want to move that knee, and then you can deal with other stuff. And right now, he's got his knee, and and we can't on our neck, and we can't breathe. So let's get him off, get him out of there.
That's a powerful image.
Would
you say that that's kind of generally kind of, you know, what the U.S. needs is to get Trump out? And are there particular sort of reasons that might be especially compelling for, let's say, African Americans in particular?
Well, African Americans in particular, and everybody actually. Mm. I mean, it benefits everybody to get him out of there. I'd say, you know.
Yeah.
You know, everybody.
So if someone came to you and said that, you know, yeah, they're both, like you said, they're both sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Your response is, if I understand correctly, that you're not disputing that. You're agreeing that,
no,
yes, they are.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, they are both sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, there's something about this regime that, you know, as you put it, got to get him off our necks, mm-hmm, before we can, mm-hmm, do anything else. Is that a fair characterization of what you were saying?
Yeah, that's a good characterization of it. And another way I could put it is that, you know, where you have the Democrats and the Republicans, you have the, let's say it like this, you have the evil and the lesser of the two evils, you know. So what you want to do, you know, you have the evil of the evil and then the lesser of the two evils. So before you can remove the evil, you can get to the evil to deal with it, you got to get rid of the evil of the evil, the evil of the evil, and then you can move to the lesser of the two. They're still all evil, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hope that kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I happen to agree with you on this, and I'm trying to sort of articulate what, you know, some of our comrades who don't agree. So I think one thing they would say is that, look, that's exactly what has gotten us into this, because, you know, we've said that each time, like, you know, when it was Bush, when it was, you know, whoever, that, yes, they're both awful, and, but, you know, we can't really move forward without first getting rid of this guy, and we keep doing that, and it still sort of continues. So
it's got to be at the right time too. You know, the timing. You know, probably some of the failure before is because it wasn't the right timing. But you know, at this time now, and Dresick was all gone, it's a better time. You know, the environment and the atmosphere got to be right too, for it all to come together, perfectly or you know, greatly. It's got to be the timing and possibly the reasons that it fell before is because the timing wasn't right. But the atmosphere and this time and now, as opposed to what it was back then, is as far as being a progressive idea, the atmosphere is more condoned to it now than back then. There was more resistance now, but a lot of people, you know, whether they call themselves progressives or not, are now more tuned into and support, you know, progressive ideas than back then when it's failed before.
Yeah, so we certainly saw that with the Sanders campaign, right? I mean, those, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, so it seems like a better time, a better environment for it now. You know, just like look at all the support with the George Floyd thing. Yeah. You know, it's a better atmosphere now. The ground is more fertile time for us to succeed. But still, first you gotta get that, you know, you gotta get the thug out.
Gotta get
the knee off the neck, so we can breathe.
So mm-hmm. you know, I wholeheartedly agree, and you know, I can also see where you know, some of our comrades are coming from, and that for all the reasons you said, you know, it is a more fertile environment. Mm-hmm. It is, and so why not take advantage of that, and instead of putting you know, our eggs in the usual basket, and then you know, seeing what comes out the other side, just, you know, seize the moment. And what you and I are saying is that there is this big, you know, roadblock, and it's hard to get anywhere without first clearing that. But I think that seems to be the main difference here. And you know, and with some of these things, of course, you know, you only know like 10 years or 15 years after the fact, right? What, you know, we make a choice, and then, you know, you see how it turns out. So do you have some feel for why for the Sanders vote, there was a big difference by, you know, younger people were generally more enthusiastic, and then in particular among African Americans, the younger ones, there was a real division there among African Americans in support for Sanders. Do you have any feel for what's going on with African Americans who preferred Biden?
Oh, well, I think what's going on with that is, well, as far as the Biden thing goes and the African Americans, I believe, and I feel that was mostly the older ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and most of the older ones, I feel like most of the younger ones are totally different, but most of the younger ones don't vote.
Yeah.
You know? So, if you look at the younger ones, you're looking at the future. You know, the future is not in those older ones. Older people also tend to, you know, want to keep things the same.
Mm-hmm.
That status quo thing. Among any groups, usually it's the older people that, you know, want to stay and set in their ways and the same things and blah, blah, blah. And don't rock the boat and all that stuff, you know, or, you know, or it's good, or we had it good just like it is, you know, so that's, I think that's what that's all about. But I don't think that's the, if you look at the youth, you don't see that as being the future. The future is swaying toward more in our direction. You know, that environment is getting more and more fertile. So the older ones are more like, well, let's be well enough alone. It's well enough. But the younger ones say, oh no, we can do a lot better than this. that's what that's all about.
And so I think that's the issue then, whether those younger folks will now be, whether they'll come out and vote for someone like Biden or whoever ends up being the nominee, you know, given that they really want a change. And
and
if they don't vote, you know, then sort of, you know, I'm not sure how that plays out. Maybe this is putting you on the spot unfairly. What would you say to a younger person who says, yeah, I'm sick of the Democrats and I'm either just not going to vote or I'm going to, you know.
I have to respect that and understand it. I understand it totally, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really up to them, you know, if they feel like, you know, they want to vote and make a difference, you know, and they feel a real push, you know, I got to do my part to get rid of this dog, then go ahead and vote. And if you feel totally like, I don't even want to bother with it, you know, these Democrats or Republicans, you know, I can understand that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's to be respected either way.
Yeah, even though they're not voting might leave the, you know, the knee on the neck.
It may. But. The way I look at it, barring there's no cheating and rigs or anything, I think even with what they have now, like, okay, you say just, you know, mostly the older folks, because I'm not saying all older folks are like that. You got some pretty progressive older folks too, but when I'm speaking generally here, so I'd say with those older folks and with the votes they got now, I think they can remove them anyway. I really think so. Mm-hmm. Barring, like I said, there's no cheating or no rig, you know, things they do to cheat or rig. I think he's gone.
Mm.
That knee's gonna come off.
Right.
Right, yeah,
you'll be able to remember
the movie Exhale. You'll be able to exhale then, you know, take a deep breath and then get that second win.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that knee is coming off, man.
This conversation with AJ was especially energizing. A reminder that we're in it for the long haul. The system is stubborn, as AJ says, but so are we. And the ground for left and socialist politics in the US does appear to be more fertile now, to use AJ's words, than it has been in decades. The next episode in this biographical mini-series features Rafi Ash, who at 16 is both a product of and is already helping to shape our turbulent times. Join us in thinking aloud about how our day-to-day work during Corona can cohere into a battle plan for democratic socialism after it.